Today we celebrate the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the temple. That was too much to put on the board, so we just changed it to Presentation of Our Lord, or aka the Presentation. Now, first I'd like to start off with some Episcopal 201. This is a little bit more advanced than the 101 stuff. Okay, but knowing this will make you liturgically dangerous, and it's kind of interesting, so I'm going to share this with you. Episcopalians do not celebrate the presentation every year on Sunday, although it's on the calendar every year. If you look in the Book of Common Prayer on page 16, there's a little note. We call them rubrics. And the rubrics give us instructions. And there's in those instructions, there are three named holy days that, if they fall on a Sunday, take the place of a regular Sunday celebration. And those three holy days are the Holy Name, the Transfiguration, and you guessed it, the Presentation. The Presentation is always on February 2nd. So the last time we celebrated the Presentation was in 2014. I'm sure you all remember my sermon from then. It was captivating, trust me. Okay. The next time we will celebrate the Presentation won't be until the year 2025. So if you don't like this sermon, you have a long time to forget about it. Okay. So you pick the right day to come to church, because we won't have these readings again for 5 years. So you'll be in the know, and everyone who's not here won't have any idea what you're talking about when you're talking about the presentation. So now the obscure prayer book lesson is over. And we have to ask, what does the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus Christ our Lord in the temple, aka the presentation, what does it teach us? Why has this been afflicted upon us? Well, I'm going to give you two reasons. I tried to figure out a subtle way to say this, first reason, but there's really no subtle way to say it, and this is a sermon, so sometimes you just have to be direct, and this is one of those times. The presentation, the first reason, the presentation reminds us Jesus was Jewish. He was born Jewish. He lived a devout Jewish life. Today he was presented at the temple, as the book of Leviticus states. And he died Jewish. In the book of Acts is clear. In chapter 1, Jesus ascends to heaven. In chapter 11 at Antioch is the first time the followers of Jesus are called Christians. No, a lot happens in those 10 chapters in between in the book of Acts. I mean, a lot happens, okay? But nowhere does Jesus come back down and say, oh, by the way, we're Christians, and then go. It never happens. Jesus was never referred to or called a Christian. The presentation reminds us that our roots are Jewish, and any form of anti-Semitism is directed at Jesus Christ as much as any other Jewish person throughout history or today. One reason we celebrate the presentation. The other reason we celebrate the presentation is needs a little bit of biblical background. Okay, so outside of the birth of Jesus narrative, what we would call the Christmas story, you know, with the manger and the cows and the shepherds, and outside of that, we only have three other references to Jesus between his being born and when he started his ministry at age 30. Three stories. Okay. The Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John are completely devoid of any of these stories. So they don't give us any information. They start when Jesus is 30, when he's baptized. Okay, so we're just gonna take Mark and John, and we're gonna put them over here for now. Okay, we're gonna look at Matthew, which tells the story of what we call the flight to Egypt. You might remember my sermon about a month ago where I talked about the wise men came and Herod found out that the Messiah was born and he had a dream. There are lots of dreams in Matthew. And he had a dream that was going to be his downfall, so he sends spies. And then Joseph has a dream to leave and go to Egypt, and they flee to Egypt. And then Joseph has another dream not to go. You know, it's time to go back to Israel. And then Joseph has a third dream not to go to Nazareth, his hometown, but to go to Galilee. And voila. Okay, so that is Matthew's story, the flight to Egypt. Luke tells the story of Jesus at age 12. And it's sort of an obscure story. We won't get into that. But there's a story of him at age 12 being an almost teenager. If you've ever had a teenager, you'd be like, oh yeah, I know about that. Okay. And then there's today's story about the presentation at the temple. Each one of these stories, of these three stories, has a very specific purpose. Today's gospel reading from Luke, the presentation, names and recognizes Jesus as the agent of salvation sent by God to offer salvation to Israel and further to anyone who believes in Jesus. That's the purpose of the presentation and the purpose of this reading. Luke spends 10 verses, which is a lot in biblical terms, 10 verses describing different aspects of Simeon, who we've never heard of in the entire Bible and we'll never hear about again. But we get 10 verses. We don't get 10 verses on the apostles, on all the apostles. I mean, Bartholomew hardly gets a mention. Simeon gets 10 verses. And then we get 3 more verses on Anna and her prophetic role. So you have to stop and wonder why. Why so much? Both Simeon and Anna are described as nearing the end of their lives, and both are described as being faithful to prayer and faithful to listening. That's very important. They're faithful to prayer, but they're also faithful to listening. For Simeon, the Holy Spirit is not only rested on him, but it revealed and guided him to Jesus. Revealed and guided. His message, the moment he sees Jesus, is taken from places all over the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is the most important prophet for Israel at the time of Jesus. Everyone was all hyped up on Isaiah because the verses, chapters 49 to the end of Isaiah to 66 is all about salvation being offered to Israel and to everyone. So Simeon goes through and his prophecy to Jesus that we have today in Luke, which is also called the Song of Simeon, which you'll find, it's called Canticle 17. We used to use it all the time, but we don't use it much anymore. Canticle 17 is called the Song of Simeon. In Luke, he gives us the Song of Simeon, which is his prophecy that he will not die until he sees the Messiah. All that comes from Isaiah, all of it. And not just, he's not giving it just to Israel, he's giving it to the whole world, that we will all have salvation. And Anna adds a short line, and her short line is those looking for redemption. It's verse 38, looking for redemption. It doesn't sound like much, but it's what we're all here for. We're all here looking for redemption. In some way, shape, or form, we're looking for redemption for something we've done against God or something we've done against someone else. So the narrative of the presentation offers us the hope of Simeon's salvation, which is to all of us, and the promise of Anna's redemption, again, forgiveness for all we have done against God or anything we have done against each other. Now, I realize what I just told you is a whole lot. I mean, I just really just gave you a lot, okay? The good news is you have until February 2nd, 2025 to just put it all together. You have 5 years, then we're going to have the quiz. I'm just joking, there's no quiz. Come to church on February 2nd, 2025. There will not be a quiz. However, I will end with this. The work of Jesus Christ, his teaching, his healing, his service, his forgiveness, his ultimate sacrifice unfolds over the next 21 chapters of the Gospel of Luke and well beyond. Beyond Israel, beyond Antioch, beyond all borders, and into our hearts. That's the message of the presentation. We are presented with Jesus, and how we receive him is shown in our hearts and through our hands throughout the world that we live in. Amen.